Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
If I were making up a story, all the good people in the story would be nice plastic saints. They would be role models for us to follow. That's the way we all want them to be, but it's not the way they were.
You have to state who God is and what He does in particular to save us, to strengthen us in the faith, to keep us rooted and grounded to Him. And when you state those things, that's true praise.
In the entire liturgy, you've got something that is absolute gold for us people that are just worn out. And what do? You hide it.
My name is Mike. I'm a fan of Law and Order. I'm a believer in Law and Gospel. And I love Issues Etc.
There are stories in the Bible that are, this one could potentially be kind of scary. There's a guy, he lives among the tombs, kind of dwells in the cemetery. He is never in his right mind. He cannot be contained. He often runs off into the wilderness, driven by not just one demon, but by so many demons that they don't even bother giving their name when Jesus asks. They just say legion, too many demons to name. And yet, Jesus has come across the lake to this region to find just this man. You might notice that when the story is over, Jesus gets back in the boat and leaves. That's why he came over, to find just this demon-possessed man. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. It's the 28th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A sermon review here at the beginning of Friday's program. We're going to be reviewing a sermon preached Sunday by Pastor Jeremy Rohde. He's a regular guest, one of the pastors at Faith Lutheran Church in San Juan Capistrano Beach, California. A sermon text on Luke chapter 8, Jesus restoring this very demon-possessed man. And we're going to review that sermon as we review all our sermons here on Issues Etc. A little bit later in the program, Dr. Mike Middendorf joins us. The church remembers Apostles Peter and Paul, and we will do so as well a little bit in advance. We'll be talking about the two, I guess you'd call them the two biggest apostles, although Peter kind of fades into the background a little bit in the book of Acts. We'll talk about both of them put together in the church's calendar on this Friday afternoon. Joe Dallas will join us after that. You've probably heard the news about the closing of the world's largest gay therapy organization, Exodus International. The leader and the president of that organization has apologized profusely to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer community for what Exodus International has been doing for the last 10 years or so. Joe Dallas will join us. We'll get his response to that event in the news. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's four soundbites we got to play for you. All you got to do is listen, and then you give us a call to vote for the soundbite that you want to pick, and it's your chance to win the LPR bundle package. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And you can also vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Whenever we review a sermon here on Issues Etc., good, bad, or ugly, and this is an example of a good sermon, we always use the same diagnostic, the same measure of what a person ought to be listening for when they listen to any sermon. It's simple, three parts. It doesn't tell you everything you need to know, but it will basically tell you if you have heard a Christ-centered, cross-focused sermon. The first part of the diagnostic, how often is Jesus mentioned? It's remarkable of how many sermons get preached where Jesus doesn't get mentioned. You can listen to an entire sermon of Joel Osteen, and he may never mention Jesus until the very end when he has his little closing prayer. And even then, sometimes he doesn't bother to mention Jesus. Now, most sermons do mention Jesus, but that's what the diagnostic is for. But the first part is, keep a simple running tally. How often is Jesus mentioned? Not just honorable mention, not just a footnote mention, but mentioned often. And if Jesus is mentioned often, then you can go on to the second part of the diagnostic. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And that sounds like a question asked by a grammar teacher, but it's an important question because it tells you where Jesus falls in the ideas that are being expressed by your preacher. Is he the one doing the doing? Are you being told about what Jesus does? In that case, he would be the subject of the verbs. Or is Jesus being mentioned as the object of verbs that someone else is doing? In other words, is the preacher telling you about what Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you, or about what someone else does? You, perhaps, for instance. And then, if Jesus is mentioned often, he is the subject of the verbs. There's one more detail that needs to be cleared up, and that is, what are those verbs? Because you can often hear sermons about Jesus who inspires, who empowers, who serves as an example, who enables, who roots for you, coaches for you, hopes the best for you, maybe even helps you a lot. But the verbs that you want to listen for in a Christ-centered, cross-focused sermon are the verbs that Scripture uses of Jesus. The Jesus who lives for you, dies for you, lays down his life for you, is your substitute for you, bleeds for you, suffers for you, is crucified for you, rises again for you. Those kind of verbs that take Jesus out of the realm of therapy and into the realm of Savior. So that's our diagnostic. How often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? With that diagnostic, based upon Luke chapter 8, the famous story of Jesus restoring a man who is very, very demon-possessed, here's the sermon preached Sunday by Pastor Jeremy Rohde of Faith Lutheran Church in San Juan Capistrano Beach, California. The text is Luke chapter 8, 26 through 39.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We had around 70 children here for vacation Bible school, and we spent this past week teaching them about the blessings that God gives to us in holy baptism. And now this morning, we have the baptism of four little ones from our congregation, two in the first service, two here. Little children like to believe that they're fearless. Any parent knows otherwise. Little children are easily frightened. For some, it's a tree branch scraping the window at night, or the darkness under the bed, or the closet door that just seemed to move. For me as a child, and don't laugh, it was the Gorax, the monster in the 1980s Ewok movie that I'm pretty sure it was rated G. But in my young mind, the Gorax lived in every dark place. He was stronger than the good, stronger than my parents, and he was always there waiting and watching, and he was going to get me. Well, you probably had your childhood fears too, and we can laugh now about the things that once frightened us. I'd say with St. Paul, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. No more fear. At least that's what I like to tell myself. But there is a secret we adults like to keep. No one likes to talk about it because we're afraid that others might laugh at us or call us childish. But there is something that terrifies adults. Terrifies us to our very cores, keeps us awake at night, wide-eyed, like children in the darkness. A shadow, if you could call it that. A figure. A man. Have you ever seen him? He lives amongst the dead. He's not right in his mind. He's naked and lawless, so strong no chains can hold him. He's pure evil. When you catch a glimpse of him in the darkness, your hair stands up on end, chills wash over your body, real terror fills you. Because because you recognize his face. It's you. Scripture gives this being of darkness a name, the old Adam. But his face isn't Adam's face. It's yours. The you you never wanted to be. The you you never thought you could become. Doing those things, saying those words, thinking those thoughts. Sometimes you look back at yourself. Sometimes you even look in the mirror. And there's a person who's looking back at you that you don't even recognize, or at least you don't want to. What we come to learn as adults is that the real monster isn't under the bed or in the closet. The real monster is within us. He keeps us wide-eyed in the dark, terrified of what he's done and of what he's capable of doing. The profanity, the gossip, the sexual perversion, then the lies and the arrogance and the pride. God willing, you'll never know what it is to be possessed by demons, like that poor man in the country of the Gerasenes. But you do know what it is to be possessed by sin, to be possessed by the old Adam that is you.
Let's take a break. On this Friday afternoon, June the 28th, we're reviewing a sermon preached Sunday by Pastor Jeremy Rohde, a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. He's pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in San Juan Capistrano Beach, California. The sermon is based on the famous story of Jesus restoring a demon-possessed man. When we come back, more of our sermon review. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
Instead, won't you tell me all the words that give me salvation, how he lived and how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me his body. Give me his blood.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia; Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas; Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri; Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California; Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas; Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri; Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas; Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Well, so far in our sermon review, Pastor Rohde has put us squarely in the center, the bullseye, of the law that this text on the demon-possessed man would preach. We may not know what it is to be demon-possessed, but we do know the old Adam that is us, he says. We're reviewing a sermon preached by Pastor Jeremy Rohde, a Faith Lutheran church in San Juan Capistrano Beach, California, based upon the story of Jesus restoring the demon-possessed man in Luke chapter 8. So, that's at least the beginning of the law. We're as bad as demon-possessed when it comes to the old Adam in us. Let's see where it goes.
No demon has forced you to make your home in the graveyard amongst the tombs. But that hasn't stopped you from making yourself at home amongst those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Though God has made you clean, you have made yourself unclean. Though God has brought you to life, you have chosen over and over again to be dead. You spend your cares making your home in this world, and this world is a great big tomb. No legion of demons has taken you out of your right mind, but you have freely chosen the insanity of sin, to sin against the God you know exists, to sin against the one whom you will give an account. No legion of demons has stripped you of your clothing. You've managed that yourself in the madness of your lust. Over and over, the people tried to help that poor demon-possessed man by chaining him and keeping him from evil that he would do. But the demons made him break free from those chains. Is it not true that over and over again, God has tried to restrain you from the evil and harm that you would do, to bind you with the chains of his law? But over and over again, you have broken loose to wreak havoc upon yourself and upon others. Pity that man, possessed by demons in the country of the Gerasenes. But also bow your own head and repent for the sins that have possessed you, for the old Adam that is you. Jesus came to the country of the Gerasenes for one reason. He had come for sinners. Barely out of the boat, there was one before him, an unclean Gentile, infested with unclean spirits, whose home was the unclean tombs. This man was about as unclean as a person can get. What does Jesus do? Does he point his holy finger and drive that unclean man away? No, Jesus had come for the unclean. He comes not to condemn sinners, but to give us life. That's who Jesus is. He did for that unclean man what he does for you. He restores that man. He restores you. Jesus takes the demons from that man and puts them into pigs. Jesus takes your sins from you and puts them in himself. The pigs carry those demons to a watery grave. Jesus carries your sins into his grave. Perhaps it's an uncomfortable thought comparing Jesus to such a filthy and unclean animal as a pig. But if you were absolutely and brutally honest with yourself, wouldn't you say that your sins are more filthy and unclean than any pig has ever been? And it's your filth and your uncleanness that Jesus has taken upon himself. for you into his very flesh. He becomes your sin. He becomes your filth. He becomes your uncleanness, all for you. So that the lashes that should fall upon you open his flesh instead. That the thorns and nails of wrath and judgment that should pierce you pierce him, skin and muscle, instead. It is love that drives your Savior to this. Love for sinners, love for you, so that on your cross, Jesus dies the death that you have deserved. Water and blood flow from his pierced side. Water filling the baptismal font to wash away your sins. Blood filling this cup that you drink, for the life is in his blood. All that he does for you on the cross, he gives to you in baptism and his supper. The man in the country of the Gerasenes had found the only one who would, the only one who could save him. And so have you. The demons into the pigs into the watery grave. And that is the very thing that he has done this day for Katarina Fritz and Harper Liu, for Logan and Ashley Druckery. It is the very thing that he has done for you and for all who are baptized. He brings the legion of our sins to a watery baptismal grave. He brings that monster within us, that old Adam, that you don't recognize, and drowns him at the bottom of the baptismal font. No more can he terrify you. No more can his lawlessness or his sins torment you. You are baptized. No more is your home the graveyard of this world. Your home is with God. He has made you his family. He is your dear father, and you are his dear child. The scriptures speak of this in two ways. The Father has given you a new birth into his family. The Father has adopted you into his family. He gives you a new birth, the scriptures teach, of water and the Spirit. And the scriptures teach that you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons. When you're born into a family, you receive that family's name. It's your last name. And when you are adopted into a family, you also receive that family's name. This is what God does for you in baptism. He gives you his name. He brings you into his family, baptizing you into his name. You're a son. You may wander like a prodigal son, but you're always a son. You are always his son. Nothing ever changes that as far as God is concerned. It's your guarantee of adoption, your guarantee that you are God's child. And nothing will ever change that. Think of how it must have been for that man whom Jesus had set free from the demons. He found himself in his right mind, clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus. After Jesus had left, whenever that man looked out upon the waters of the lake, he would be reminded of Jesus and of what Jesus had done for him. Like him, whenever you look upon the waters of the baptismal font, you are reminded of Jesus and of what Jesus has done for you. Because it is Jesus himself who has baptized you. It is His baptism that stills all your fears. It is His baptism that puts you in your right mind again. It is His baptism that guarantees you a good night's sleep. His baptism clothes you in the righteousness of Christ. As St. Paul says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. His baptism sets you at His feet, for Jesus promises to be here for you. Jesus is here this very day. It is He who is baptized Katerina and Harper. It is He who is baptized Logan and Ashley. He has baptized them into His family, into His name. What Jesus said to the man on the shores of the lake is fitting for us too as we stand here at the shores of the baptismal font. Jesus simply said this, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
A sermon preached Sunday by Pastor Jeremy Rohde of Faith Lutheran Church in San Juan Capistrano Beach, California, based upon Jesus healing the demon-possessed man. So fear, all the fear that our sin and its consequence death brings, which is something to be afraid of, is replaced with comfort. For Christ has taken our sin, and He's taken its consequence, death, as well. And we are restored completely. Think about it. What was it like for that man in his right mind for the first time? Probably since he could remember. A man who had probably invited those demons in by a life lived so far from God and so disobedient to God's commandments that eventually the devil just took up residence in him. To be rid of all that, the demons, but even more importantly, to be rid of the guilt of his sin for perhaps the first time in his life. And when Jesus leaves, He takes that man's sins with Him. So Jesus has done exactly the same thing for us. He's taken our sins with Him all the way to the cross, where He pays the penalty for them. He dies the death they deserve in our place. When we come back, we're going to talk about the apostles Peter and Paul remembered together in the church's calendar. Dr. Mike Middendorf will be our guest.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns, We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.